Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Kuf, Chaf Gimel, 1:23. Yesterday we had the good fortune of finishing the 16th Perek of Shabbos, and we started yesterday the 17th Perek of Shabbos, which deals with the issue of Moksa. So by just way of brief introduction, which I didn't do much of yesterday, so let me do today, and then we're going to go back. We're going to start the parak again today. I read the Mishnah yesterday, but that's all I did. So I'm going to go back, I'm going to reread the Mishnah, but just as a brief introduction. The Rambam writes in the 24th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, 30 parakim of Hilchos Shabbos in the Rambam. So we are towards the end of the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, and he writes as follows. Perek Chav Dalet Halacha Yud Beis Asru Chachamim L'Talto Mixas Tvarim B'Shabbos. What the rabbis did is they forbade moving certain things on Shabbos. Kederach Shehu Ose B'Chol, like he does during the week. Omi Bnei Managu B'Isser Zed. Now, why did the rabbis do this? Why did they come up with such an Isser? Amru Umahim Izir Neviim B'Tziva Shalom Yiluchach B'Shabbos Kiluchach B'Chol. Because we know one of the basic premises of Shabbos is that Shabbos should not be like a weekday. Your walking during Shabbos should not be like walking during the week. Your conversation on Shabbos should not be like your conversation during the week. The pasuk says Nishayo. So that means now that your whatever you carry and move and transport on Shabbos should not be like it is during the week. So it doesn't turn into a weekday. And what's going to happen is you're going to pick up utensils, you're going to move it from one corner of the house to the other, or from one house to another house. Or you're just going to pick up stones and put away stones. And it turns out now that a day like that, where you're in the garden and you're moving around stones and you're moving things from house to house, so it turns out the Shabbos is not Shabbos. And the whole idea of Shabbos is that it should be a day of rest. So therefore the Chachamim don't want you moving things that are not necessary to be moved. And not only do they not want you to do that, so they slapped an Isser. And this is known as the Isser of Moksa. And then the Rambam continues the next halacha of Od Kishe Yevakir V'Yitalto Kelim Shemlachim L'Isser. Now look, what's going to happen is that you may pick up something which is generally used for an Isser, right? Like a hammer. Okay, that's a perfect example because, as you're going to see in the Mishnah, that's going to be one of the first examples we deal with. So you're going to pick up a hammer. Shishi Yisasek Behemat V'Yavoli De Malacha. Now you got a hammer in your hand. So, you know, right, I just a couple bangs over there on the door, that's all it needs, and you may end up doing a malacha of bona or something of that sort. And also, the Rambam continues to write, some people are just not laborers, not skilled, betalim kol yemehem, meaning what do? Not a whole lot. People who are travelers, people who are Yoshe Kronos. And for these people who really don't have a skilled profession, so for them, what's going to make Shabbos different? If not for the Isser of Moksa. The Isser of Moksa basically will say, look, during the week you can move that, but on Shabbos you can't. And now Shabbos will be fundamentally different. It's interesting. The Rambam makes it sound like this was another consideration in terms of Moksa for these types of people. Okay. I don't know what kind of percentage they represented, but anyway. So now basically what we've done is we've uniformed, we standardized Shvisa, so now everybody will be experiencing the same type of cessation of work on Shabbos because of the Isser of Moksa. The Isser of Moksa basically, what the Rambam is saying, is a great equalizer, meaning for every single person, regardless of what profession he is and what skill he is, and what kind of worker he is. But now that there's an Isser of Moksa, so everyone will be now having some form of rest and cessation of labor on Shabbos, even those people who don't even have much to do. And the rabbis forbade kalim that are generally not to be used on Shabbos. Okay? That's by say all that now by way of introduction, and that's the Rambam's introduction to the Isser of Muktzah. Now there are other Rishonim who give other explanations of why the rabbis forbade Muktzah, but the Rambam is a great starting point, and that's going to be our starting point in our introduction to the Perek of Kol HaKelim. The Perek of Kol HaKelim, the 17th Perek of Shabbos, deals exclusively with the issues of Muktzah on Shabbos. Now, we already discussed Muktzah on Shabbos. It comes up in the third Perek of Shabbos. Second half of the third Perek is a discussion of Muktzah, but here we are in the 17th Perek, and this is one of the prime locations, the prime areas, where we get to discuss the Isser of Muktzah. Another Gemara that's also dedicated to the topic is the Gemara of Beitza. But obviously that's later down the road. We'll get there later on. The Mishnah begins, Kol HaKelim.
Does it mean Muktzah comes from the word?
Muktzah means set aside.
Set aside.
That's what the word actually means. Kol HaKelim, Talam B'Shabbos, V'Dalsa, Seini Mahem. I'm rereading the Mishnah. I read the Mishnah yesterday, but we're going to start again. All Kelim are moved on Shabbos, and the doors of these Kelim as well. Alpha Pishnis Parku, even though they fell apart. Now, we have in the Mishnah the word Bishabis again, but it comes up in parentheses. And you will see why, as we go through the Gemara, why that word is in parentheses. But in the meantime, however, I'm just going to read on the Mishnah. Shein and Domim, Ladlasos Habayis, it's not the same as the doors of the house, Lefishenim and Amuchan, because that's Enim and Amuchan, meaning that wasn't set aside. In other words, the doors of a chest and a closet. Movable closets and movable chests. So in other words, you know that the doors come off, the doors go back on again. So in other words, the doors are detachable, removable, and you put it back on again. So therefore, those doors are functioning utensils. The door of the house, that door comes off, what am I doing? I mean, the only thing I'm going to do is get a hammer, get nails, and put the door up again. But in other words, that door by itself is einum and amuchan. We don't really have anything in mind for that door if it's detached from the house, and therefore the door of the house is going to be muktzah if it were to fall off. And now the Mishnah gives a host of examples of what you can do. You can take a hammer in order to crack a nut. The fig cake, you could take a big saw and cut the fig cake. Magera lagorbo sagvina, could take another big type of knife in order to cut the cheese. Magrefa lagrofbo es agrogris. You could take a magrefa, shovel, some form of a shovel, and in order to take out the grogris, the dates, es harachas es hamalgez, or mazleg, either way. Lasesa lavlakatan, feeding a child with a pitchfork. Es a kushve es a karkar litchovbo. These are very pointy instruments. They kind of look like toothpicks. Litchov b'machat. And if I need to, I was right the first time. Litchov b'o. And if I want to pierce something with these items, right, like a toothpick basically, so I can. Machat shoya litchov b'o es akotz. Take a needle. Let's say I have a splinter. And I want to take the splinter out. So I could take a needle, which generally speaking is a kli, as is everything we just mentioned, the Mishnah, in order to take out the splinter.
Do you take it out on Shabbos, the splinter?
Yeah.
It's not a, like a,
almost. Well, if the bleeding that occurs, that's right. Enam is kavin. I had no intention to get the bleeding, if there's in fact going to be any bleeding. And Now, let's say I lock myself out of the house, and so I could take a large needle in order to jimmy the lock. That would be fine. Okay, those are a whole host of examples. Now, what do all those examples have in common? Basically, if we can put one simple common denominator to all those examples, these are all kelim shemalachto le'isser. Get used to the term. We're going to be using this term again and again. Kelim, where the general purpose of these kelim are things which are prohibited on Shabbos. A hammer is used for building. A needle is used for sewing. And all the examples here are items that are generally used for isser. But if I want to use these items not for a prohibited activity, but for a permissible activity, the Mishnah says that's fine. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So if I don't have my nutcracker and I want to open up the nut on Shabbos, so you go out to the garage and you go to the tool shed and you take a hammer and you open up the nut with the hammer. That's fine. That's not a problem, says the Mishnah. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to those points later on. In the meantime, however, we have a Gemara. Kol HaKelim Talam V'Afa Pishin Esparku B'Shabbos. Now, when did the door break? Meaning, the first point the Mishnah makes is that the kelim can be moved on Shabbos. The doors of the kelim can be moved on Shabbos, even though the doors broke off the keli. Now, when exactly did this happen? So what the Gemara thinks is that this actually occurred on Shabbos. And the point the Mishnah is making is that even though it broke on Shabbos, it's okay. I can move the kli and its door as well. Velomi baye bechol. And that would also mean that the Mishnah is telling me the bigger chiddush, which is that if it broke off on Shabbos, and that means that if it broke off before Shabbos, of course you can move both the kli and the delis. The Gemara says, does that make sense? Meaning, is that how we're going to make the argument? Adarabba. If we're going to make an argument, the argument's going to go the other way. Where? If it broke off on Shabbos, what does that mean? It means that going into Shabbos, the door and the chest were both muchan. They were both items that in my mind had prepared and set aside for Shabbos. I knew I was going to use it for Shabbos. Now the door came off on Shabbos, but okay. But at least going into Shabbos, the door was there. And we have a general rule that muksa is set, it's fixed, it's locked, bena shmashas. Meaning if something is muksa bena shmashas, it'll be muksa for the remainder of Shabbos. If something is not muksa bena shmashas, it'll be fine for the rest of Shabbos. So in other words, going into Shabbos, the door and the kli are together, so there, that's an easier argument to make, that the door that breaks off is going to be fine. It can be used on Shabbos. But if it broke off before Shabbos, there, it's a bigger chiddush to tell me that going into Shabbos, the door can be used. Amar Abaye Achi Kamar. So Abaye says, your point is very well taken. And so when you're going to learn the Mishnah, we're going to just simply relearn the Mishnah, a new pshat in the Mishnah. Kol HaKem and Talam B'Shabbos, V'Dal Zaseh Me'mehem, Afa Pishin Itzparku B'Chol. The Mishnah is not telling us that it broke on Shabbos because that would be the lesser of the Chiddush. What the Mishnah means is it broke before Shabbos, and even though Afal Pikein, you're allowed to move both the Kli and the door on Shabbos, because again, the basic idea is that since this door is detachable, so therefore, even though it broke off before Shabbos, it's understood that I'm just simply going to reattach it on Shabbos.
But I think that the door by itself doesn't have any function for you.
So outside, right.
For you.
Correct. But because it comes on and off, so therefore it's considered part of the chest.
The main part of the thing. Right?
Correct. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara teaches the following braisa. Tosefta. Del shashita v'shal teva v'shal migdal notlin avolo machzirin. If I have a door of a chest, a movable chest, so I can take it off, but I can't put it on. Now, if it's the door of a chicken coop, I can't take it off and I cannot put it back on again. Now, let's start off with the chicken coop. The Gemara first analysis comes on the second half of this Tosefta. Look, the chicken coop is connected to the ground. So that means that the chicken coop is part and parcel of the ground. It's like a building. And therefore, when I take a door off and I put a door on, I'm involved in the malacha of bona. That's binyan. And that's prohibited. It's a malacha. So I understand. I can't take the door off. I can't put the door on again. I totally understand that. But here, the Tosefta gets confusing when it talks about the door of a chest, of a movable chest. Where what did the Tosefta teach us? You can take it off, but I can't put it on. Well, both acts are acts of binyan. So if I can take it off, why can't I put it on? Now, let's be consistent. Meaning, look, it's a kli, it's a movable kli. Is there binyan by a kli? Subject to a debate. But at least let's be consistent. Let's take one position. If there's binyan by kelim, there's stira by kelim. And if there isn't binyan by kelim, so there's no stira by kelim. So either I can put it on and I can take it off, or I can't put it on and I can't take it off. But I got to take one position. And the Tosefta over here seems to be straddling the fence. I'm Rabbi Lolam Kasav, Yishbin Yekelim, Yishir Bekelim, Vishin Itlu Kamar. So Abaya offers a pshat. And Abaya says, really, the Braisa holds that Yishbin Yekelim, Yishir Bekelim, I can't put the door on, I can't take the door off. When the Braisa says that the door comes off, the Braisa doesn't mean I took off the door, means it came off, and I can't put it back on again. That's Abaya's pshat in the Tosefta. Now, look at the Tosefta again, read the Tosefta again, and you'll see it's a very difficult pshat in the Tosefta. Amale Rava, and Rava notes, Shtei Tshuvas Badavar. Bothers me for two reasons. Chara Denot L'Katani. First of all, read the Tosefta. The Tosefta says you're allowed to take it off. That's one. The Od, my Aval. And not only that, but when the Bryce says the Tosefta here speaking to us, it's saying the word Aval. Aval is a contrasting term, meaning you can do this, but you can't do this. Clearly, the Bryce is not dealing with one scenario. It's dealing with two different scenarios. Taking off the door, putting the door back on. You can take off the door, but Aval, but you can't put the door back on again. So, Abaye, your pshat is really not a good pshat in the Tosefta. So, Aval amachzir, nelama Rava, kasavra ein binyan bekelim, ein stir bekelim. Okay, so Rava now is going to offer his pshat, which the Gemara seems to be satisfied with. And that is, let's just finish, and then, yeah. And that is, that really the brice of the Tosefta holds, ein binyan bekelim, ein stir bekelim. Look, it's a kli, it's a movable kli. And the melacha of bona only applies to things connected to the ground. So there is no malacha of bona over here. So if there's no malacha of bona, so what's the issue? Taking off the door, that's fine. Putting it back on again, why shouldn't that be fine? Gzera shema yitaka. So the Gemara says, because me'ikar hadin, according to the Torah law, it would be fine. The rabbis were concerned that you're going to put it back on again, but you're not going to be satisfied with just putting it back on again. You're going to really set it back in again. You're going to squeeze it back in again. Rashi's language, Shema Itaka, Bichazaka, Bisakim V'yaseidos. You're going to use a knife, you're going to use pegs, V'havalei Gemar Malacha, which would then be the finishing touch of this utensil. And then, obviously we're not talking about the Malacha of Bona, because it's a Kli. What are we talking about? Rashi says, we're talking about the Malacha of Makeh B'Patish. It's the finishing touch to a Kli, and because you're putting on, you're hammering in the finishing touch, so therefore that's the function of Makeh B'Patish, and the rabbis were concerned that if we allowed you to put that back on again, you'd be in violation of Makeh B'Patish.
The word notli means to detach or to move.
Right.
Which one does it mean?
Here, detach.
But it could mean to move.
Could, but in the context of this brisa.
No, but I think in the brisa, it could mean if it was detached, you could move it. Not that you could detach it.
Right? Agreed.
I mean, that's what Abaye was.
Understood. In this case, it means to detach it.
No, that was the point. It says not live. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
You can detach.
Yeah. Well. Correct.
But the thing is, it's got two meanings. That's why there's
okay.
No
tiffany. Okay. Notel Adam Kornos. Okay, and now we go to our Mishnah. And here we touch on the very fundamental principle of muksa, and specifically klisha malachto le'isser. Now, as I explain the Mishnah, I really explain this Mishnah kipshuto, the simple pshat of the Mishnah, which is that these are kalim which are generally speaking used for purposes of isser, but I want to crack open my nut, and I don't know where my nutcracker is, go to the garage and take out the hammer, and that's fine. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. So I'm just warning you that as we start now the Gemara over here, and we start with the position of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda will not be offering the simple pshat in the Mishnah, but be patient, because Rava will, and the halacha is going to fall like Rava. So, note to all them corners. I'm Rav Yehuda, Kornos all gozim. Lefatzeh bose gozim. Aval shanfachim lo. So Rav Yehuda says, when our Mishnah is talking about a hammer, it's talking not about a regular hammer that's used by a smith. It's talking about a hammer, specifically a nutcracker. Meaning, the word kornos just simply means a blunt metal object. And it normally refers to a hammer, but Rav Yehuda says, not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is speaking specifically about a nutcracker. And that would mean that if it's a kornish on the fachim, if it's the hammer of a blacksmith, I cannot take it on Shabbos, and I cannot use it on Shabbos. Why? Because he's of the opinion, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, that if you have a klisha malach v'lisser, which means that the general purpose of this particular utensil is to be used for something which is prohibited on Shabbos, a hammer is meant for building, so therefore I, under no circumstances can I take a hammer and move a hammer on Shabbos. That is Rav Yehuda's pshat in our Mishnah. Amalei Rav, let me. Good point. Very good point.
How about Muksa Mahmad Chisoron Kis?
Not yet. Too early. Amalei Rav, let me out. Sefer Diktani Vesarachas Vesamalgeis. Lase Salav Lakatan. So Rabbi says, look, I'm even ready to accept that your pshat and cornice is correct. But look at the next cases in the Mishnah. And he points specifically to the case of the Mishnah where you're taking a pitchfork and you're feeding a child with a pitchfork. Meaning, who feeds a child with a pitchfork? Clearly, the pitchfork mentioned over here is something which is a klisha malachla eser. And the point the Mishnah is trying to make is that you can use it on Shabbos for something which is mutter. Rachas amagis mimi achkel al katan el amaraba kodeshon nefachim lefatzei bosek ezer gozim. So Rabbah therefore says that when the Amisha talks about a hammer, it is talking about the hammer of a blacksmith. And kasavar, and the point being, we're on the top now of today's daf, kuf chav gimel min alef, daf shem lachkel al eser tzarech gufa mutter. That if I have a klishim lachkel al eser, but it's tzarech gufo. These are terms which are going to become ABC terms in the world of Moksa. In other words, I'm using it legufo. Legufo means for something which is permitted on Shabbos. Am I allowed to crack a nut on Shabbos? Yes, absolutely. So can I now take a hammer, which is normally used for an iser, and use it for the purposes of tzarech gufo? And Rabbah's answer is yes, you can. Absolutely. Not a problem. Obviously, I to take a hammer and to use it for the purposes of hammering, that obviously not only is a mitzvah issue, that's a malacha issue. But if I want to take the hammer and use this for something which is mutter on Shabbos, by all means, you're allowed to do that. Tzarech gufo, you're allowed to do that. Mutter eisvei abai l'rav. Okay. So we have now two basic positions of how to understand our Mishnah. The position of Rav Yehuda and the position of Rabbah. And really, what comes out over here is that we have a basic machlokas between these Amorayim, whether or not you're allowed to use a klisha malachta l'iser l'tzarech gufo. Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to use a klisha malachta l'iser l'tzarech gufo, which means that either you find your nutcracker or you'll skip the nuts and you won't eat the nuts on Shabbos. And according to Rabbah, no. In other words, if I don't know where my nutcracker is, so I'll go to the garage, I'll take a hammer, and I'll open up the nuts with a hammer. That is a basic machlokas between these Amorayim.
But does Rav Yehuda say that if he designated beforehand?
He may say that, but right now we're speaking very, very conceptually, very fundamentally, in terms of this principle of Moksa. So, Eisvei Abayi l'Rav, so the Gemara now, Abayi challenges Rabbah, based on the following. Meducha, this is a Tosefta. Meducha, yesh ba, shum etalta nosa, v'yim la, v'yim etalta nosa. I have a mortar and pestle. Okay, that's the thing where I grind up, you know, back in the good old days, the bowl, that big, okay, whatever. Yeah, right. So anyway, so mortar and pestle, meducha im yesh ba shom. So if there's garlic inside of it, metalton osa, so then you can move it. Vim la, vim metalton osa. But otherwise, you cannot move it on Shabbos. Meaning, even if, let's say you want to use something, you use it for a purpose of heter. Rashi gives an example, kigon. Third line down in Rashi. Leishiv alaham. Right, let's say right now I have nothing to sit on. Okay, so get that mortar over there. Apparently it's a little bit larger than you know the one I'm holding in my hand. Otherwise it'd be very uncomfortable to sit on. But the point is, I want to use it legufo. Meaning I want to use it right now in Shabbos for something which would be mutter. So this Tosafta says you can't move it. The only way you'd be allowed to move it is only if there's actually garlic inside. But had there not been garlic inside, I cannot move it, even l'tzarech gufo. So, Rabbah, what are you going to do with that tosefta? Amalei hamani Reb Nechemyah. Okay, you're going to see a lot of this in the 17th parak. Now, there's a Tana, and his name is Reb Nechemyah, and in the world of Muktza, he is as machmir as it could possibly come. Reb Nechemyah is of the opinion that you can only move items on Shabbos for its general purpose and for nothing else. Even a klisha malachto leheter, even a spoon, a fork, a knife, you can move them on Shabbos, but only for what they're normally used for. But you cannot move them for any other purpose. The amar ein kli nital ela tzarech tashmisho. A kli can only be moved for its general purpose and usage. That's the opinion of Nechemyah. Now we happen not to hold like Reb Nechemyah, but right now that's not the point. The point being is that we have a difficult Tosefta, where the Tosefta seems to indicate, I cannot move the Meducha under any circumstance. And so what we'll do in Limud is we'll say, okay, that Tosefta, that's going like Reb Nechemyah. Okay. And we can, and it allows us to take a Tosefta and basically pigeonhole the Tosefta, that Tosefta shelf it, because it goes like Reb Nechemyah. Eisvei, another challenge from Abai to Rava. Skip the parentheses. This is a Mishnah in Beitza. Vishav Mishim Katzav Alabasar, Sha'asar Latal Talal. You chop meat on this board, it's called an Eili. Now, this board Eili is generally speaking used for Asar purposes. Rashi offers a couple of explanations of what it generally is used for. I'll be honest and upfront. I don't know what these examples that Rashi are giving. Rashi says, you want to see it inside, Asr al-Tautalo, the Hadi Kashar Beisela, Mishum Simchas Yonta Kashar, Amma, Mishum De Eli Malach Le'Isser. This Eli is generally used for prohibited purposes. Tiketishas Targis. I'm not really sure what that is. Vitisne Viklipas Eitzim. A chopping up wood. Okay, that I know what that means. Okay, peeling wood, whatever the case is. The purpose is it's a very large chopping block, and it's normally used for things which are asr on Shabbos and Yontov. So, Shim Katzav Alav Basar, Sha'asr Letat Alav. You cannot move the Eli on Shabbos or on Yontov. Now, that's a Mishnah in Beitza. And again, the attention and the question is towards Rava. Rava, you're of the opinion that if it's a klisha malach to lisser, but you want to move a lisarach gufo, you're allowed to. So my simple question to you is, why can't you move the Eli on Shabbos or on Yontif? Now, what's the answer? So we have a go-to move, which is that we have a difficult brisa, so we can basically shelf the brisa and say, oh, that brisa is going like Rebbe Nechemia. And that's why I can't move it. Okay. Which is a good move, meaning it's a move. But over here, however, he would like to offer another answer. Kevin Deshem Lahadam Rav Chinna Bar Shamayim Mishmei Derav Hakamod Mesichi Zari Mizari De Kevin De Kapitalayim Miyachlu Makom Hachinami Miyachlu Makom. Now, there's another answer which he'd like to offer, and that's the following. We've now only introduced ourselves to one form of muktzah, which is called Klisha Malachta Leser. But now let's introduce ourselves to another type of muktzah, which is Kli She'asar Machmas Chisaron Kis. And that means as follows. I have something to me which is very valuable. Now, valuable not simply because it's worth a lot of money, but because I take it out only under very specific circumstances. In fact, we're going to see the Mishnah on Amud Beis this morning, God willing, which speaks to this idea that I have large, heavy equipment that I really take out only for one particular instance or circumstance. Examples which the Gemara will give later on this morning is going to be the butcher's knife, the shochet's knife. Okay, the moel's knife. Right, the moel. Let's say he's sitting at the dinner table and they ran out of knives. No, no problem at all. I'll take out my moel's knife and I'll use it to cut the meat. Okay, we laugh because we know he would never do that. That's an excellent example of, right, muktzah machmas chisaron kis, meaning it, to him it's extraordinarily valuable. So over here, this Eli, this chopping block, what the Gemara now wants to answer is that if it were a klisha malach to le'isser, so then you'd be allowed to move it, no problem at all. But over here, it falls under a different category, muktzah machmas chisaron kis. When it's something that to me is extremely valuable, so then I cannot move it on Shabbos. It is, I'm gonna introduce a term which is really a terrible term because it's my term. It's super muktzah, meaning it's not just that its general use is for Isser purposes, but I myself feel that I would never take it out under any other circumstance. So in other words, I really removed it from the category of usage at all, other than what it's exclusively used for. The Gemara gives examples of Sichi, Zairi, Mizari. What are these items? Like once again, you can take a look at Rashi. Klitz Avayim, the dyer's equipment, that the dyer only uses for his equipment. Rashi offers another pshat. See Rashi inside for another pshat, which he doesn't particularly like. But either way, in other words, these are instruments that are used for very specific purposes, and the owner of these instruments would not use them for anything else. So it's muktzah machmas chisaron kis. So then everybody would agree that you cannot use that on Shabbos or on Yontov, even letzarech gufo. Here too with the Eli, same thing as well. Haninami miyachel lehu makom. The Eli is used exclusively for It's a chopping block, and it's only used for the purposes of a chopping block, and I would not take it out for anything else, and therefore it's moksa machmas chisaron kis, and that's why it cannot be moved neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. There is an interesting Rashi over here. I'll point it out very quickly. Rashi Hani Nami, and Rashi writes, it's only a two-word Rashi, but it's an interesting one. Rashi says, let me just find it. Here it is. Hani Nami, Eli Umaducha. Where these two things are Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis, which means that what the way Rashi understands the Gemara is going over not only the Eli, but also the Meducha as well. Meaning, even though the Gemara previously said the Meducha, oh, you know why? That Tosefta, that's going like Rabbi Nechemiah. But now, with the way Rashi's understanding the Gemara now, is that this new answer of Kli Machmas Chisaron Kis is now both answering up the Eli and the Meducha. Okay, and Rabbi Kiva Eger points out over here, you can go back to Rashi that we did together earlier in the Masechta, where this Rashi is not consistent with the Rashi back on Daf Pei. Okay, but that's for more depth and analysis, but we're going to go on the Gemara. Idmar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Kornoshol Zahavim Shaninu. Now, more on this discussion of Klisha Malach Tala'isr. When Rav Yochanan learns the Mishnah, he says we're talking about the hammer specifically of a goldsmith. Okay? The goldsmith likes his hammer. He's banging out gold with that hammer. It's a valuable hammer. And still, if I need to crack the nut, go ahead, get the hammer. Now Rav Shemin Bar Abba Amar Kurnashal Basamim Shaninu. Rav Shemin Bar Abba says the hammer of the spice maker. Okay? Now it's interesting. Now it's so interesting. The Gemara assumes that the hammer of the spice maker is much more valuable than the hammer of the goldsmith. And I guess the spice is much more delicate. It, you know, any inconsistency in the hammer is going to affect the spices. I'm not really sure what I'm saying.
Maybe it's the odor.
Maybe it's the odor it's produced. It's a bit. I like that explanation. Okay. Either way. Anyway, the Gemara assumes man da'amar de besamim kol shekein dezahavim. Now, if you could use a hammer of the spice maker, then it goes without saying that the hammer of the goldsmith is fine. And man da'amar shel zahavim al de besamim kapit alayu. But if you could, but Rav Yochanan, who says in our Mishnah specifically talking about the goldsmith hammer. Yeah, that's okay because I don't care. In other words, I want to use it to crack open the nuts, so what? But the hammer of the spice maker, maybe that falls under the category of muksa machmas, chisaron kis, and therefore I cannot use it on Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan, pagash shetamna b'tevin, v'charash shetamna b'gachalim. I have a fig that I put into straw. Now, it's not just a fig, because a fig would be a te'ina, it's a paga, or a puga, however it's pronounced. How does he pronounce it? Paga. Okay, kamatz. So it's a fig that's unripened, as Rashi explains. And so they have a technique where if you take this unripened fig and you store it in straw, so somehow it'll ripen. Right? The circus time, I'll tell you a little secret. Let's say your esrog is really green. So, don't try this at home, but it really does work. You cut apples and you put it together with the esrog, and it really will accelerate and expedite the whole ripening process. The esrog will turn yellow. Keep it there long enough, esrog will also turn brown. So, anyway, pagash shetamna b'tevin. So the fig is placed in straw. Now the straw is muksa. V'charash shetamna b'kachalim, and you put a cake in coals, and obviously the coals are muksa. Imagula miksasa mutal tautala. Now if some of it's revealed, so therefore you can move the fig, pick up the fig, even though incidentally some of the straw is going to get moved. You can pick up the cake, even though incidentally some of the coals is going to get moved. V'imlav also a tautala. However, if there's no opening for me to get to the fig or the cake, I cannot move it. Rav Elazar ben Tadya Omer, Tochvim b'kosher b'karkar v'heim minar me'aleim. And the Gemara quotes a Tana, Rav Elazar ben Tadya, you could take some sort of toothpick, stick it into the fig, and then pick it up, and the straw will fall off on both sides. And the same thing is true with the cake as well. Now, Amar Rav Nachman, Alacha k'Rav Elazar ben Tadya. And Rav Nachman says, that's the halacha. Good. This introduces us to a concept, Tiltil min atzad. I don't remember accurately, but I'm sure that we've already dealt with this concept before in the Masechta. Tiltil min atzad. Which means that I'm moving something which is muksa, but I'm not moving it directly, I'm only moving it incidentally. The fig obviously is edible, the cake obviously is edible. When I pick it up, I will be moving straw, but I'm only moving the straw incidentally, and so that's fine.
Why wouldn't that be mitasek?
Let's call, just simply call it tiltum and upside. It's just incidental moving, which is not part of the ban of muktza. Now, lememer de sever of Nachman tiltum and upside lo shmei tiltum. So now the Gemara arrives at a very obvious conclusion. Rav Nachman holds that tiltum and upside is not part of the iser of tiltum. It's not muktza. So the Gemara takes us back, really back. Third perek of Shabbos back. You remember, we talked about taking the turnip and burying it in the ground. In other words, the turnip has already been removed from the ground. But just as a way of preservation, remember, they didn't have a refrigerator in the good old days. So how would you preserve your turnip? You buried it in the ground. So, right, you have a picture of a turnip, a carrot, thin end, thick end. So if it's thin end down, thick end up, so Rav Nachman says, you can pick it up off the ground. Why? Because you're not moving any earth. In other words, right, because since the thin end is down, so therefore you're picking it up, and there is no need to move any earth. However, if it's thick end down, thin end up, so when I pick it up, I'm going to be moving earth. And Rav Nachman says he cannot do that on Shabbos. So obviously an inconsistency within the position of Rav Nachman. Where here he's holding tiltum and atzad is mutter, and there, I'm not touching the earth. I'm only moving it incidentally because I'm picking up the turnip. So it's an inconsistency. And the Gemara answers very simply, Hadabe Rav Nachman me'ahi. Okay, Rav Nachman had a change of tune. Meaning, yes, Rav Nachman at one point historically held tiltum and atzad as aser, and then he reconsidered. Right? What caused him to reconsider? I don't know. I cannot tell you. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. Machash Yadli Tob, and Tiltum and Atzad, by the way, is mutter. Meaning that's the conclusion. The Gemara continues. Toto Machash Yadli Tobo Kot. Shach Le Rava Bereid Rava Le Rav Yosef Vandenu Rabbeinu Machash Yadli Tob Harara Uksa Mahu. Let me ask you this question. A needle generally has two points, two ends to it. Okay, the end that's pointy, and the end that has the eye. So that is your needle, okay? Your classic needle. What if one of those ends have been taken off, meaning the pointy end broke off or the eye broke off? Is that considered? Is it now still considered a kli? Okay, amar le tinisua. Now, just so you should, everyone should understand and know. In other words, one of the general rules regarding moving something on Shabbos is, first and foremost, it has to be a kli. It has to be a utensil. Then we'll ask the question, is it kli shemalachta lehetar versus kli shemalachta lisser? We can even ask a sub-question of whether it's a kli machmas chisar and kiss. But in other words, first and foremost, it has to be a kli. If it's not a kli, so generally speaking, it can't move it on Shabbos. This is what we would call muksa machmas gufo. Meaning it's not even a kli. So it's kind of like it doesn't even get off the ground yet, whether or not we can move it. So the question is a very simple one. I have a needle that's either missing the pointy end or missing the eye. Has it lost its status as a kli? I'm related to Nisua. Machashayali tobosa coats. Now, why can't we turn to our Mishnah? Look at what our Mishnah says. It talks about a needle, and I'm taking it on Shabbos to get out a splinter. Now, v'chima echman la lakotz bein nekuvah so bein shein nekuvah. Now, for our purposes right now, do I need the eye of the needle? I'm not sewing right now. I just need the pointy end of the needle in order to get out the splinter. Okay, minor surgery. Very minor. So, it sounds like from our Mishnah that even though it's missing an eye, I could use it. Okay, that's what it sounds like from our Mishnah. Now, truth of the matter is that you could say no. You could say that our Mishnah is talking specifically about a needle with an eye. But, in other words, and then and only then can I move it on Shabbos. You could say that, but right now the Gemara would like to suggest no. Eisve, the Gemara challenges based on a Mishnah. That if I have a needle where either the pointy end or the eye broke off, it's tahara. meaning it's a broken kli, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, what you just do? You see what you just did? You're asking from the halachas of tuma. Tuma Shabbos karamis, tuma kli ma'isa be'ina. Look, when it comes to the world of tuma, there is a very clear definition of what is tuma and what's not. And you don't need just a kli, but a kli ma'isa. A functional kli, one that has utility. That kli is the defining mode of what a kli is regarding tuma. But on Shabbos, meet the chazabinan. But on Shabbos, I just need something which can be used right here and right now. Okay, not a kli ma'isa. So the threshold of what a kli is vis-a-vis Shabbos is going to be lower than what a kli is regarding the world of tuma tahara. So the Gemara says, and here, all I'm doing is I'm just trying to get out a splinter. So vis-a-vis the world of Shabbos and the halachas of Moksa on Shabbos, this is considered a kli. Good. Amar Rav Amanda Kamosiv Shabbat Kamosiv. Midalinian Tuma, Lav Mana, Linian Shabbos, Ami Lav Mana. So Rav disagrees and Rav says, no. I don't think there are different thresholds. I believe that the definition of kli regarding tuma is going to be the very same definition of kli regarding Shabbos. And he feels that the question is an extraordinarily valid question, and Rava disagrees with Abaye. Meisvei. Macha ben Nekuva ben Shein Nekuva, Mutar L'Talat Ala B'Shabbos. Wow. We have a Braisa, and the Braisa couldn't speak any clearer. A needle, whether it has a hole or whether it does not have a hole, I can use it on Shabbos. V'lo'am r'nekuva elalein yutum abavad. When does it need a hole? That's only in the world of tuma. But in the world of Shabbos, it doesn't need a hole. It doesn't need an eye. Okay, so now, this brisa is perfect for Abaye. Because Abaye says there are different thresholds of what a kli is in the world of tuma versus the world of Shabbos. So from Abaye's standpoint, wonderful. But what is Rava going to do? Because Rava believes that the threshold is the same for both. Tirgama Abaye Aliba de Rava. Who's going to defend Rava? Correct. Abaye is going to defend Rava. Because as we point out time and again, they're not debating for the purpose of debate. They want to seek the truth. So if Abaye is going to defend Rava, he will defend Rava. Even though he's arguing with Rava. So Begumi Askinan Zimnam Demem Achalayo Mashvalei Mana. We're talking about an unfinished needle. Not a needle where the eye broke off. But we're talking about a needle where it's unfinished. And sometimes what happens is that he concludes and he says, you know, I'm happy with the way it is right now. Meaning I didn't put the eye into the needle yet. And you know what? Let's leave it like that. Where in the world of Kalim, once you decide that this is a finished product, this is now going to be the finished product. And it will be a kli in every world. In the world of Shabbos, in the world of Moksa. But if I had a needle with an eye and the eye broke off, I throw it away into the trash. Okay. Adkan, that ends our discussion about a needle whose eye or point broke off, and the Gemara has a machlokas, whether it's still considered a kli or not considered a kli. Machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Generally speaking, we follow like Rava, which means that vis-a-vis Shabbos, it will... vis-a-vis Shabbos, if it had an eye and it broke off, it will not be a clean. You cannot move it.
The point is broken. What can you use? The needle? The eye I can understand.
Right.
You can still use
a agreed.
Point.
Agreed.
But
it,
the
right.
point, what it is.
Agreed. You're right.
Just because something is a clean doesn't mean that you can move it. Right? It has to be designated.
Then, in other words, the first thing it has to be is a clean. And then you can ask the question of, is it malach v'la heter? Is it generally used for heter? Malach v'la iser? Is it generally used for iser? And even if it's malach v'la iser, if I need it now for Shabbos, okay, in other words, but the first thing it's got to be is it's got to be a kli.
What is that about the second one? The second part is that it has to be designated for use, no?
Yeah, in other words, correct. In the world of Kalim, it has to be, right. You have to decide that this is how you're going to use it. Asuva Yanuka, we're going to kind of go off now a little bit on a quick tangent. And Asuva Yanuka, it's some spinal manipulation. You could say chiropractor. That might be appropriate. Not a particularly sure. I'll read Rashi. Rashi writes, Lahachlid Seder Evarav, Kishuhu Nolad Evarav Misparkim and Sarach Liyashvan. So Rashi describes some sort of traction. But again, I'm not particularly sure. But when the child is born, Rashi says, is the joints are slightly disjointed and require some sort of manipulation. Okay, some sort of chiropractic work. Anyway, can I do that on Shabbos? Now, if the Gemara is asking the question, I'll be the first to say, obviously, it can wait. Because if this is a kind of medical medical attention, which would, if not done, be a sakana, so then obviously you could do it on Shabbos. So this is the kind of medical attention where it can wait, obviously. Otherwise, there would be no discussion. Asuve yenuka. So can I do this type of manipulation to a child on Shabbos? Rav Nachman, also Rav Sheshes Sharit. So the Gemara brings a debate amongst the Amoraim. So Rav Nachman says, let's start off with defending my position. We learned in the Mishnah, Ein osin apiktozion b'Shabbos. A person cannot put together apiktozion. Do you remember what that was? It's nasty. It's like ipecac, right? Of the good old days, which is no longer recommended. I don't think. It induces vomiting. And it's an interesting Rashi. We look at the top Rashi on Kuf Chal Gimel on the base. Rashi writes Lahaki. Its purpose is to get to induce vomiting. Shosem Mashkim Umeki Velola Rafua. And Rashi says its purpose is not for medicinal usages. El Laharikas Mayav. But what it does is it cleans out the colon. Not it's not the colon. It empties the stomach. Sheyuchal Lecho Velesto Sayom Harbei. And so that you can eat again. Yeah, we're bordering over here on bulimia. Okay, so it's not... It's funny. It sounds like from Rashi, like, you know, on Shabbos you can't do it, but... All right, anyway. Harbe kedamin beperakavis v'alfa gavdolo gazabe mishum schika samamanim da'alav l'refuahi asa mishum demetakin gavra. Okay, now, it's not medicinal... But the rabbis prohibited because Rashi says it's tikkun gavra. Okay. However you want to understand that. That's a little bit unclear exactly what Rashi means by that. But all we need to know, just to understand the Gemara, it's rabbinically forbidden to do that. So Rav Nachman says, if that kind of physical manipulation is forbidden, so then this asuve yenuka, manipulation of the body, attraction of the spine, whatever, however you want to say it, that's also going to be forbidden as well.
Even if the baby's in pain, is that
what it is? Again, I that's why I go back to say, if we're talking about danger, an actual danger to the baby, so then I don't think there's a discussion. This is me talking, but I'm going out on a limb and I'm saying it confidently. Obviously, this is something which could wait. Now, Rav Sheshes Hasam Lav Orche Hacha Orche. Now, Rav Sheshes says, look, a piktizon, it's unusual. Meaning, that's abnormal behavior. And the rabbi said, don't do it. Meaning, because it's so unusual. But here, this is normal. This is natural. And we're talking about a natural manipulation of the baby. So Rav Sheshes says, I do not believe this, the two cases are to be compared. Of course, the piktizon is aser. The Mishnah says so. But I believe that this is different, categorically different. And I'm Rav Sheshes, Menah, Mina, Lot. Now Rav Sheshes says, now I'm going to show you a Mishnah that supports my position. Didnan, Machashaya Lita Basakots. What does our Mishnah say? You have a splinter. You can remove the splinter on Shabbos. Okay. It's clear from our Mishnah that if you have some sort of minor ailment, and you can basically tend to minor ailments. Now, anything that has to do with medicine, we know already that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, right? Tzchika samemanim. You can't grind medicine if there's no real sakana, if there's no critical urgency. However, if it's just a minor ailment, like a splinter in your skin, you could take it out on Shabbos. So now Rav Sheshes says, if I could take the splinter out on Shabbos, I can't do this type of vertebrae manipulation, I can't do this chiropractic work to the baby, it's the same. Rav Nachman, some pocket, achalo pocket. Rav Nachman says, no, I believe those two cases are different. Rav Nachman says, look, in the case of the splinter, that's an external item that does not belong in your finger, that's currently in your finger. So you can get it out. But when you're talking about traction and chiropractic work on the baby, you're fixing the baby. So Rav Nachman says, so we end off with a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, whether you can do this type of chiropractic work. Rambam, Shulchan Aruch goes like Rav Sheshes is Mekel. Okay, let's do one more quick.
In case of the hammer, can be used or not?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Right, Klisha Malachta Leser can be used with Sarach Gufa. Okay, I would like to just go through the next Mishnah in Gemara, and we will stop for today. The stick used for the olives. Okay, what happens is that you have a whole vat of olives, and really speak to the person involved in pressing the olives. He'll describe this better than me. And what the stick is used is it's put in, mixed around the olives, test out the bottom, see how the olives are doing on the bottom. Okay, so if it has a knot, right, this stick on the bottom, I don't know how to describe this knot fully, but I'll just leave it as a knot. If it's got a knot on the bottom, it's mekabel tumah. And if it doesn't have a knot, it's not mekabel tumah. Venkach uvenkach nita b'Shabbos. Either way, you can move it on Shabbos, you can use it on Shabbos. It's funny, we just had a discussion like 10 minutes ago. In other words, if it's a kli regarding tumah, so then it's going to be a kli regarding Shabbos as well. Here in this Mishnah, it seems pretty clear that, in other words, in tumah it has one threshold, but in the world of Shabbos, it sounds like from this Mishnah that there are two different thresholds for tumah and Shabbos. Okay, but it's my observation. I'm sure somebody thought this through better. Amai pshutei kli eitzu, the Gemara asks a very simple question. We know, when it comes to wooden utensils, in order for a wooden utensil to be a mekabel tumah, it needs a toch, it needs an inside. So over here, it's a stick with a knot at the end. Where's the toch? Why is it mekabel tumah? Upshuta kliyetz and mekabel tumah. My tamid demi desak beinan. So tana mishmei de Rab Nechemya bisha shemahapich bezesim hofcho v'roabo. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where the toch is. You take the stick with a knot. Now, the general purpose is to stir the olives. But at the same time, however, you want to know, are we ready for press? And so what you do is you put your stick and you stick it all the way to the bottom and you take it up. And in the knot, there's a small little hole where if there's any oil on the bottom, you will see the oil on the bottom. So the knot does have a toch, it has a receptacle, a small receptacle that holds a little bit of oil. And because of that, it's going to be now a kli. It's a kli eitz with a toch, and that's why it's going to be mekabel. Adkan, we started the 17th parak of Shabbos today. We went through the Mishnah. The conclusion is the kli shemalachta leiser, you're allowed to use a tzarech gufo, and as we'll learn tomorrow, a tzarech mekoma as well. I'll explain that better tomorrow. A kli which is muksa machmas chisaron kis, it's very valuable to you, and you only take it out for very specific purposes. So we learned today, and we're going to learn again tomorrow, that you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos, even Sarach Gufa and Sarach Mekomo. And then a couple of side discussions about chiropractic work on the child and the stirring stick for the olives. Okay, Ad Kan, we'll start tomorrow with the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha. Amar Atzak Hashbach, Uzak, 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 Uz